Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Well, over the past, last week actually, we took a break from our study in the Sermon on the Mount to spend 2 weeks looking at the topic of politics. In our sermon series called Donkeys, Elephants, and Jesus, how do we navigate both Christianity as disciples and Christ followers and politics? And we looked at the question last week. If you weren't here with us, I encourage you, take a look at that message online. It's on YouTube. And to get some background for what we're going to talk about this morning, and I gave a lot of disclaimers and other things that we're not going to do this morning, because like last week was a different kind of message for us. As I said, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount over the past 6 or 7 weeks, and we're going to take this two-week break and talk about this thing that's happening right now, the election, that we all know, and some of us love, and some of us can't wait till it's over. I heard an amen there, yeah. And so we're just taking a pause here, and then we're going to start back up next week going verse by verse through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. We're a little over halfway down through that, and it's been a great teaching. But as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, we've seen that we've been called and encouraged from the very beginning of our series by Jesus. We were commanded to be salt and light. And so we've been going through this verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You're going to see up here on the screen. You, that's us, right? He was talking to a certain group of people, but he means, Jesus is saying, this is all of us as the church. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? We're going to talk in a moment about what maybe has happened to us as we've lost our flavor. Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underneath as worthless. And it goes on in verse 14. You, once again, us, the church, we are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way that we are salt and light, he says, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this mandate you have given us, this declaration to be salt and light to this world. And Lord, as we take a few moments and the rest of our time here this morning to just ponder, what does it mean to be salt and light? When it comes to our politics, when it comes to the world around us and the influence that we have or have not been given, Lord, I just pray and ask that you would speak to each of our hearts, that even in these times when many of us get ramped up and excited and others of us dread the season that we're in, Lord, may we look for opportunities to be your salt and light, not just at the ballot box, Lord, but in this room, in our homes, in our places of work, in our schools. God, may we recognize that you have called us, you've entrusted us to be your hands and feet to this world around us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we as followers of Jesus are called to be salt and light in a dark world. So yes, we looked at this last week. That means that we are to participate in politics, because politics, as we saw last week, helps shape our culture. But we have a far deeper hope that sustains us, regardless of whether our chosen party or our candidate wins an election, because our ultimate hope is in the King who sits on an eternal throne, because you and I are part of a greater kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 11, says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners," or your translation might say citizens, "we're temporarily here, because we have an eternal home, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." And the way that we walk in the world and behave in the world and the way that we engage with politics should reflect our status as children of the King. That's the way of the Lamb. Last week, we looked at this graph. We saw this up here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through it. I encourage you, if it doesn't make any sense to you, to go look at the message from last week. But we're called as people of the light, as the salt of the world, to be people that are full of hope and people who are full of humility. And this is just a simple chart to help us put this in perspective maybe for us. If we look and see, where do I fit? How do I engage in politics with the world around me? And some of us are like the ostrich. If you remember, the ostrich is the one who puts his head in the sand and says, I don't want anything to do with this. An ostrich is driven by fear, doesn't have a lot of hope, doesn't have hope that things could get better, doesn't have hope in the right things or sometimes in anything. And so an ostrich will often just walk away and say, I want nothing to do with this. I don't want to deal with it. There's also the giraffe, who is so high and mighty above everyone else. I told you that often I identify as a giraffe when I look at politics. Everyone around, both parties, our whole system is broken. If they would just do, of course, what I know needs to be done, then everything would be great. Or we might be a donkey or an elephant. And remember, I said that doesn't mean that if you are voting for a particular party or even if you're part of a particular party, that that means anything right or wrong. It means that if our hope is in our political party, often our humility is very low because we have to realize that our party will not save us. We don't want to be an ostrich, a giraffe, and we don't want people to see first in us. We don't want to lead as an elephant or a donkey. We want to lead in the way of the lamb. We saw that Jesus, the Lamb of God, gives us the ultimate example of how we can follow the way of the Lamb. And it's by putting both our humility and our hope in Jesus Christ. That's the way that we can be salt and light and engage our world. That's the way that we can have influence. As we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, we've heard that word over and over again. I've shared that with you. That what Jesus is showing us is how to be people of influence. Not to be people who are just following a set of rules, but people whose heart reflects his character, his humility, and his hope. And when we do that, we will live as salt and light to this world. When the church is being salt and light, it has amazing effects on the world. Just think about some of the ways throughout history that the church has been salt and light and made a difference, influencing culture. The end of sport killing, the gladiators. Viewing women as property, child sacrifice, child labor, child marriage, child prostitution. There's a theme, right? When Jesus calls us to care for the widows and the orphans. All of those examples, slavery, all of those examples are the church leading in the way of being salt and light, engaging in the world for us to really change the course of history. As Christians, we're being salt and light and pushing back the decay. Because the reality is that Satan wants nothing more than to advance that decay. When the church is the salt and light, it has done amazingly powerful things in the world. But there are also times where the church has not let its light shine. When it has not been the salt of the earth, when it's abandoned its post and neglected being salt and light. Sometimes through ignorance, sometimes through arrogance, oftentimes fear, the way of the ostrich, or indifference. And we've allowed evil to advance. And yes, there have been times when we have been on the wrong side of things. Christians have often weaponized faith, not to preserve the decaying of the world or to shine a light and glorify God and build his kingdom, but to build up our own kingdoms. Remember, we're not a citizen of this kingdom. We're a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. When the church has failed to be salt and light, we've seen that Satan will come up and speed up the decay. And we have seen the repercussions of that. In many ways, we are living right now in the repercussions of that, in the consequences of the church failing to be the salt and light. There are things that we're dealing with, even in our political system today, that I firmly believe. I'm going to take off my preacher hat for a second and just put on my Stephen hat for a moment. I don't have proof of this, but I believe that many of the things that we are wrestling with in our culture today, abortion, gender identity in particular, the way that children are being indoctrinated in certain things, I believe that those things are things that we will look at the other side of history if Jesus should tarry in coming. And we will all see, not just believers, not just those of us in this room, but all of us see how wrong we were. History will not look at those things kindly. But the church has failed in so many ways to be the salt and light. And we're dealing with the consequences of that. But here's the amazing thing. That verse, when Jesus spoke to those people in the Sermon on the Mount and told them to be salt and light, they were then being salt and light. He said, this church, the church then, has just as much power to be salt and light as the church now. Because we have a thing that those first century Christians did not have: the right to speak in to how things are led. Christianity advanced at times when the government was working so much harder than it is even for us now, opposing that. Yet they were salt and light, without the privilege that we have to vote. Even then, they were called to be salt and light. They could prevent decay without the aid of, and sometimes in spite of, the government in power actively persecuting them, pushing the darkness. So those of us who are sure that everything, that's when we're looking at this kingdom, everything is going to go away if our candidate doesn't win. Let's put that into perspective. We saw this last week. Political parties, platforms, and policies will not save us. Only Jesus can save us. Now, as I said that last week, I mentioned it, and I thought it this week many times. That's a nice platitude, right? But what do we do? We're 22 days from an election. And as I mentioned last week, I'm not going to tell you, the church is not going to tell you here how to vote, but I do want us to take some time as we wrap up our time here this morning to look at how we as followers of Jesus Christ should engage in politics. How should Christ followers engage in politics? First way is to participate. To participate. Barna research shows that 32 million professed Christians, and that number they're saying, those are people who claim to actually go to church. 32 million Christ followers are projected to abstain from voting. That is a right that we have, but I want to encourage you to participate. And one of the easiest ways for Christ followers to participate is to vote. As Americans, we've been given a gift that most Christians throughout history would have loved to have. Actually, people died for that right. It may be easier, and I have done this many times, to go the way of the ostrich. And it may feel better to take the way of the giraffe. But use the voice that you've been given to vote for people and policies that will slow the decay. Character matters, but so do policies. And I don't know about you, but I'm not excited to vote for either of our main party candidates. I wish, and I'm going to pray, that the people of America, that I would do better. That we would put people in power who have both character and policies that slow the decay. But as your pastor, I will tell you that you should vote for the candidate that you believe is most likely to lessen evil, to slow that decay, so that we, the church, can then step up and be in action, that we can be the salt and light to this world. Which policies will best allow us to live as salt and light? Who will do the most to help prevent decay? But here's the bigger challenge. We have to do better. We, as Christ followers, have to do something about this. We have to lead in the way of the Lamb. We have to lead with Jesus more than we do a flag or a party or a candidate. And it starts in our families. To be engaged, to participate in being salt and light, as these parents did this morning. To live and grow and have a family that flourishes in the name of Jesus. It starts in your family and then your church. And then this community. How are you as a business owner, a decision maker in your company, a line worker on the job, a school volunteer, a teacher, whatever you might find yourself doing, how are you being salt and light? Vote in local elections. Many will say that much more good in slowing that decay can happen at the local level than it necessarily does at the national level. Vote in primary elections. Let's be salt and light. Another way that we can participate is to get involved. To get involved. Maybe that means you run for office. The Bible is full of men and women who got involved in the political systems of the day to help advance the kingdom of God. Joseph, Esther, Daniel, David, Josiah, we could go on. None of them were perfect. But God used them to help promote godliness and dignity. We're going to look at those two words in a moment. So even if you don't feel called to run for public office, you can still make a difference. The things that you are passionate about at the ballot box, find ways to be passionate about those in your community, to make a change for good in those same areas. There are always opportunities for us to serve here in our own community, and that's a great way, maybe the better way even, to be salt and light. So how do we engage as Christ followers in politics? We participate. And number two, we pray. We pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, says, I urge you, first of all, let's stop here for a second. I made it our second point, but it's really the first, isn't it? The first thing that we are supposed to do, that we are called to do as Christ followers, being salt and light, first of all, is to what? Is to pray. To pray for all people. Not just our candidates, not just our policies, not just the people that we like in power, but all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. I have the choice there. We're going to read it again because it's so important. So that you will have peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, first pray. This is often what we do. This is often what I do last. When I've exhausted all the other options, when I've come to the end of myself, then I pray. No, pray first. It's okay to pray when all hope seems gone, but we're told to lead with prayer. To pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. We pray for all of those in authority. And why do we pray? That verse tells us so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Those two words we mentioned earlier. Godliness and dignity. And that's what I want us to do right now. So this is going to be a little bit different message. I want us to actually practice what we preach. We say that we want to be people of prayer, but we're told right here in Scripture, first of all, to pray for all of those in authority. That we might be able to live lives as salt and light in the world so that we could mark the world around us with godliness and dignity. So to close our time here this morning, I want us to actually engage in prayer. And this is going to be different for us. A lot of times I'll just talk at you for 30 minutes. But what I want us to do here is to take just a few moments as we end our time and pray. And to help you with that, I'm going to have some prompts up here on the screen. And I encourage you, you can do this alone. You can do this with the group around you, whatever you feel comfortable with. We're going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to have some guided prayer up on the screen for us to actually practice this, to put it in motion. This in and of itself is once again, as Paul tells us, first of all, this is being salt and light. To pray this and then live it. So we're going to have just a few minutes. If you want to get up, there's somebody around the room you want to go pray with, that's fine. And as we go through these different sections, I'm going to wrap up each section and we'll go to the next one. Again, you can pray by yourself. You can pray with those around you. You can pray what's up on the screen. You can pray whatever might be on your heart with the people around you or yourself. But let's be people who follow the way of the Lamb and who lead with prayer. We have to participate, but we have to lead with prayer. So you're going to see the first one up here is that we're praying for our local leaders. So I encourage you, just take a few moments, the people around you, by yourself, whatever you feel comfortable with. If you want to read this prayer, pray this prayer, pray amongst yourselves for our local leaders. And there's some examples there of how we can pray for our local leaders. So let's take these few moments and just pray. God, we lift up our local officials to you. You might want to take, if you want to pray these prayers throughout the week, I encourage you to take your phone out. You can take a picture of that. We also want to take a few moments and pray for our governor. You'll see guided prayer up here on the screen and our state leaders. Take a moment and pray for them this morning. God, we lift up our governor and all our state officials to you. We're going to take a moment to pray for members of Congress, both in the Senate and the House of Representatives, for guiding us. Take a few moments and pray for those leaders now. Pray for the members of Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. Give them the spirit of unity to put people first. We're going to take a moment. We're going to lift up our president and whoever is elected to the presidency in November. Let's take a moment and pray for them. You'll see the guided prayer up here on the screen. God, may the office of the president be a force for good, both in our nation and all other nations around the world. And finally, Lord, we ask you to be with us. May we, as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, step into the places you have placed us to be salt and light in our families, our jobs, our schools, and our communities. Give us wisdom to live lives of peace marked by godliness and dignity. May our words, our actions, and our votes be ones that push against the forces of Satan in our homes, our communities, and our nation. Take a moment and pray for yourself. God, help us to be your salt and light to this decaying world. I encourage you, if you want to pray those prayers, if you would like to see those again, come see me and we'll get those, or I'll post them online. But be a people of prayer. We need to lead first with prayer. It shouldn't be our last ditch effort. It should be our first line of defense. Amen. So how can you, as a Christ follower, engage in politics over the next few days? Pray and participate. Ask God to use the influence that you have at the ballot box, the influence that you have in your homes, in your jobs, in your communities, in your schools, to be salt and light. I want to see America be a nation where the unborn are loved and cherished, and where all children have an opportunity to thrive. I want to see an America where the family is upheld as the sacred establishment that it is, where mothers and fathers work together to raise boys and girls who love the Lord, as we've talked about this morning, and recognize the beauty and specialness that God has designed each of them to be. I want to see an America where we care for the widow and the orphan and the immigrants, and where all communities flourish. All of those are wonderful. We should pray for those. We should do all that we can in our homes, our schools, our jobs, and our government to see those things happen. But the end goal is not to persuade people to vote a certain way. The goal, as that scripture says, is for as many as possible to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And that doesn't start on November 6th, nor does it stop on November 6th. It starts right now in your heart, in my home, in this church, in our jobs, in our communities. May we be people of salt and light in this dark world. Amen.